Good morning, all. Today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26, I believe. So, unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning again. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning and share God's word together. I just want to honour Pastor Matt. I think this church is blessed to have such a wise and discerning pastor in Matt. I've had a bunch of conversations about some significant broader issues with Matt over the last few months, and I've really appreciated how thoughtful and considered he is in those conversations. So just want to honour him and say thanks to him, even though he's not here, for inviting me to share with you today. I'm going to pray, and I encourage you to pray with me as we turn to God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And so today I pray that as we explore your word together, that you make it clear to us by your Holy Spirit. That as I speak words I believe you've given me, that whatever is from you would find home in our hearts. And I pray specifically today that you would reveal to us in a fresh way who we are together as the church. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So as we begin today, I want you to think about what are some significant words that have been said to you that have stuck with you. They might have been said a couple of weeks ago. They might have been said when you were a child. Maybe you still are a child. But what are some significant words that have been said that have stuck with you? Perhaps they've shaped your identity, your concept of who you are. They've shaped the way you think about yourself. Maybe they were positive. Maybe they were negative. And I want to encourage you to take a second to think about that. And if you've got something that you could share with the person next to you, obviously I'm not inviting you to reveal deep trauma spontaneously in the middle of church this morning. But if there's something that stuck with you, I just wanted you to take a moment to share with the person next to you. What's some words that have been spoken to you that have stuck with you and shaped how you see yourself? So, and as we think about that, I want you to shift your focus now from yourself to Dixon Baptist Church. And I know there's some people, because I met some people outside on the way in and said, oh, it's our first time here today. And I said, me too. I think this is the door. Let's go in. So I know there's some people here for the first time today. But what are some words that may have been said, or maybe you've thought them, that have shaped your understanding of Dixon Baptist Church? What words have been said about this church? What words have shaped your understanding of it? Now, there are some words on the wall, and I love to see that. And there's a mission to be and to make disciples of Jesus in a loving church in our local community and beyond. And there's a vision. We see a dynamic, Christ-centered church that shines as a light for Canberra, bringing to people peace and hope for the glory of God. There's some great words. It's not my usual practice in when I visit a church to look up the Google reviews, but I thought it was appropriate this morning that I might have a look at Google and go, what words have been said about this church? And you'll be pleased to know that you have a 5-star church out of 2 reviews, but still, it's 5 stars. And according to Google reviews, and I'm not naming who reviewed them, they may be people here this morning, but according to Google, words said about this church, it is a friendly and accepting people, great preaching, and good morning tea. And the other review is, it's a place of worship where God is truly felt, and there's like an emoji with a halo around the top of it. They're the words that have been said on Google about Dixon Baptist Church. And so Google reviews are okay. Mission statements and vision statements are great to give direction to a church. But I want to talk today about, and I want to focus on what I think are perhaps the most profound words ever written about this church. And they are the words found in the last verse of our reading this morning. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so this scripture says to Dixon Baptist Church that you are the body of Christ. Now, one of the significant truths that we understand from the gospel is that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. That means that Jesus is God in flesh, that he is the embodiment of God in this world. But now the Apostle Paul says that the church is the body of Christ. Now, obviously, there's some differences between Jesus' incarnation, his dwelling in flesh, and what it means for the church to be the body of Christ. But one of the most significant truths of the gospel, that God became flesh on earth, we now follow that movement to the church. That now the scriptures, God's word says, you are the body of Christ. And so this phrase is one of those phrases, though, that if we've been around church for a long time or for a while, we become familiar with it. And as the saying goes, familiarity can breed contempt. Now, it may not be contempt at this point, but for a lot of us, familiarity with these words, being the body of Christ, can breed a sense of apathy towards them. These biblical metaphors of body, of family, of bride, for the church can just become kind of synonymous for the word church. It's just like they're the in lingo for our club. But I want to encourage us this morning in the time we have together that these words mean so much more than that. They're more than just slang for church. These words that you are the body of Christ mean that you, Dixon Baptist Church, are the embodiment and tangible presence of Jesus Christ in this world. In Dixon, you are the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Imagine that as your Google review. Have to be at least 5 stars, maybe 6 stars out of 5. This church is the body of Christ. Because that is the truth. You are the body of Christ, and the you here is plural. You together are the body of Christ, and that's made clear in the start of the reading we had this morning from verse 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is for Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles or slaves or free, whether public servants or politicians or tradespersons or students or children. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. And so the truth is that you together are the body of Christ, that the many parts of Dixon Baptist Church form one body together. And so we're not the body of Christ, though we are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are made Christ-like as individuals. We're not as isolated individuals, the body of Christ. Together, as a church, we are the body of Christ. Many parts made one thing. And so you are the body of Christ, and this means that we have a unity of presence, that we embody Jesus. We're the tangible hands and feet and body of Christ in this world. You are the body of Christ, and this means that we have a unity of purpose to demonstrate to the world, to Dixon, to the suburbs surrounding this church body, who Jesus is. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And so when we begin to grasp with how significant these words are, that it's not just slang for church, that there's deep and profound meaning in what it means to be called the body of Christ, then for some of us, we might begin to think, well, not me. Because how could I be worthy to be called part of the body of Christ? When I think about who Jesus is and his glory and his perfection, how could I be part of the body of Christ? I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not normal enough. I don't look like the other people look like when I show up at church. Or maybe I'm not strong enough, or I don't have the right gifting. See, when we grab how profound those words are, you are the body of Christ, we might begin to step away from what that means for us as individuals to be part of that. Well, let me remind you that 1 Corinthians 12, 27, that key verse we're focusing on today says each one of you is part of it. And if that's not clear from there, the Apostle Paul in verses 15 to 20, and I'm rereading parts of this morning to remind us in context. In verse 15 to 20, the Apostle Paul makes this clear that no matter who you are or how you're gifted or not, how strong you are or not, how worthy you feel or not, you are part of the body of Christ. He says in verse 15, now the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so a body is not just hands. And a body is not just eyes, it's feet and ears as well. The body of Christ is not just pastors, it's not just worship leaders. It's not just kids' church leaders. It's not just piano players. It's not just those people that we might see kind of at this end of the building. It's not just people that feel they have a natural functional role on a Sunday morning, because the church is so much more than when we gather. Every part finds belonging in the body of Christ. And if a part is missing, then the body is not whole. My background before being a pastor was as a physiotherapist, and as a physiotherapist, I learnt about a thing called phantom pain. And what that is the pain that a person who's had an amputation feels for the limb that's not there. And so it's not just the loss of function. Say, you know, if a person has had their arm amputated from the elbow down, it's not just they lose the function of the bottom part of that arm. It's not just the pain of the wound at the end of the amputation. They feel pain where that arm used to be. It's called phantom pain. And so I believe we experience this in the body of Christ. When a part of the body is missing, yes, we lose some function that comes with that, but we experience the pain of part of our body being missing. Because everyone is part of the body. Each one of us is part of it. And so there's a pain in the body of Christ when a part is missing. Paul goes on, and this is a point that Paul labours, that each one of us is part of the body of Christ. He goes on in verse 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the hand cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." I want you to hear that this morning. If you've felt a weaker part of the body of Christ, perhaps for a season, or perhaps for your whole life of faith, you felt a weaker part of the body of Christ, then I want you to hear these words. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. And so the parts that are weaker receive special honour, are indispensable. The less honourable parts receive special honour. The point is, you belong. No matter how strong or weak or honourable or dishonourable, no matter how you might subconsciously or consciously seek to disenfranchise yourself from what it means to be part of the body of Christ, you belong to it. And Paul goes on to say that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And so no division here doesn't just mean no conflict, but no division of who's in and out, no division of who's important and who's not. Each part should have equal concern for one another because we're all part of the same body. If you ever need a reminder of how what might seem on the surface an insignificant part of the body is actually quite significant, just catch your little toe on a door frame as you walk through it. That will remind you that even the smallest part of the body, when in pain, can affect the whole. As a clumsy, large person, I get that reminder regularly. And so you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So this means that you belong to something bigger than yourself. You belong to the body of Christ that is called Dixon Baptist Church. But it doesn't stop there. You belong to the body of Christ. Dixon belongs to the body of Christ of the churches across the Canberra region. And Dixon belongs to the body of Christ, and this region belongs to the body of Christ, and part of that movement of Christ Church called the Baptist Churches of New South Wales and ACT. We're part of a body together. We all are forming integral parts of that, and obviously it doesn't stop there. We're part of this global thing called the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I don't know what your self-perception of Dixon Baptist Church is, how significant you consider this church to be, but I want to remind you that you as a church are a body, but you are also part of a significant thing called the body of Christ all around the world. And each one of you and each church is part of it. And so together, we are part of the body of Jesus, expressing who he is to the world. And as we do that, we discover that every part of the body has a purpose. We don't just belong in the body. Each of us have a purpose, a function within the body. To read beyond a few verses, what we had as our reading this morning, in verse 27 it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, the gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and all different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so Paul describes the parts of the body now not as hands and feet metaphorically, but as functions of the church. And there is an emphasis towards leadership gifts here, towards supernatural gifts and functions, and these are really important. And that last verse encourages us to eagerly desire the greater gifts. But Paul's key point here isn't the specialness of some gifts over other gifts. The point is that not all have the same gift. Not all have the same function, but all parts of the body are important. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about this same thing, about all these different parts forming together as the body of Christ, and he talks about different parts and different functions and gifts, and he uses a different set of gifts here. In Romans 12, 4-8, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, do what you're shaped to do. Each part of the human body has a function, and each part of the body of Christ has a purpose and a function. And I might be a little bit strange, but when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of our kitchen utensils container. Because each thing in here, you know, some get used more often than others, and I'll be honest, I left some on the kitchen bench at home because they didn't seem relevant this morning. But when I thought about the different shapes and functions we have, I thought about this utensil container. Everything is shaped to do something, and they do that thing better than any of the other implements can do. So this one, the spatula, egg flipper, whatever you call it. I'm using the tin as a microphone. This was great cooking pancakes this morning. I could flip the pancakes over. It did a great job of that. But the thing about this, if we were having soup, this would do a really terrible job of serving the soup. I mean, you could try, but things would be a lot less functional. And so, fortunately, we have this one. We have a ladle, which is fantastic for ladling out soup. It does a great job of doing that. But if we're eating pizza, then this is pretty horrible at slicing the pizza. So we have this magical little thing that can cut the pizza up. It's leaking. But this doesn't do a very good job of mashing potatoes. So we have this thing that can mash potatoes. Everything in here is shaped specifically for a function, and it does that function better than anything else. I could go on, but hopefully we grasp the point that in the body of Christ we are each shaped by God in a particular way to be a particular part of his body. And we can perform the function of that part of the body better than any other part trying to accommodate. Yes, we can fill the gaps. But a ladle is not going to cut pizza as well as a pizza cutter. And a pizza cutter is not going to mash potatoes like a potato masher. But the reality is that we are much more than a utensils container. We are the body of Christ. We're even more interdependent than the utensils container. Because for the body to be healthy, each part not just needs to be present, but needs to function. If the kidneys don't do their thing, the whole body suffers. If the lungs don't do their thing, the whole body suffers. Perhaps not for very long, because then it will die. The whole body will be without oxygen if the lungs don't do their part. And so each part of the body of Christ has a function, it has a purpose, and this means that each of us has a responsibility to do what we're shaped to do what we're gifted to do for the whole body to be healthy. Being present, being a part of the body is important, but we also need to function as a body. Each of us, whether a ladle, a pizza cutter, a potato masher, each of us need to do what we're shaped to do to fully express who Jesus Christ is to the world. And so I want to remind you this morning of what I believe are the most profound words that have been said about this church. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And that means that each part of this body has a purpose. You're profoundly important. You belong together and you have a purpose. Let me pray with you that God would make those truths at home in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would be able to comprehend what it means to be the body of Christ. This seems a truth too enormous for our minds to grapple with. And so I pray that we would not be apathetic to that truth, that we would not dismiss it or belittle it, but that we would have the identity of this church shaped with those words, that we are the body of Christ. Father, I pray that those of us that may have lacked for a sense of belonging or worth in the body of Christ, that we would feel deeply that we belong, that each one of us is part of it. And Father, as we pursue you, I pray that you would help us to understand how we are shaped as part of the body and what function, what role, what purpose we have within it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.